And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. On one of the Sundays in pre-Lent, I noted that the Lenten season functions as a pilgrimage that we take each year. The idea flows from the Gospels, which tell us that in his ministry, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem like a flint, and we have followed him to this point. And on this Sunday, we commemorate and follow him in his unique entrance into Jerusalem for that final week of his earthly ministry. One author says that Palm Sunday is the gateway to Holy Week. Through the course of the week, we will meditate deeply upon those final momentous events. Most importantly, we will join his followers at the institution of the Lord's Supper on Thursday night. Unlike his followers, we will seek to pray with him 1 hour on that night of his betrayal. On Friday, we will stand at the foot of the cross with St. John and the Blessed Virgin and the other women who followed him, thinking deeply upon his sacrificial death as he bore the sin of the world. And on Sunday, we will joyously announce his resurrection from the dead, celebrating his triumph over the devil and death. But today we focus specifically upon his ride into Jerusalem. As we read the gospel accounts of this event, we are taught that this fateful ride was packed with meaning. In fact, I would assert that everything in Christ's life was highly significant. I mean that there was purpose and meaning in everything that our Lord did. It is all instructive regarding who he is and what he came to accomplish. Two details in St. Matthew's account of that Palm Sunday make this clear. First, we're told that Jesus intentionally went to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives. From this vantage point, he would enter Jerusalem. Jewish commentators on the prophets had suggested for many years that the Messiah would enter Jerusalem from this very locale. The second clue in this regard from St. Matthew had to do with the means of his entrance. He sent two disciples over into the city to fetch a donkey with her colt. And when they brought them to Jesus, he rode the donkey into the city. St. Matthew tells us that this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This quote is actually a compilation of two well-known messianic prophecies. So we see that Jesus' actions that day functioned like a megaphone announcing that their Messiah had arrived. He may as well have been carrying a sign that said, I am your Messiah. The crowd that accompanied him into Jerusalem that day, they got it. They cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David, messianic title. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This, in fact, marks the first time during his earthly ministry that he allowed his followers to openly claim that he was their king without silencing them. So having established the highly symbolic nature of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on what we now call Palm Sunday, let us consider three truths associated with his ride into the city that day. First, he rode into Jerusalem willingly. Now you may be thinking, why is that important? Well, because there are some scholars, notice my air quotes, there are some scholars who show up on the religious shows that appear around Easter every year and say that Jesus was basically a failed revolutionary. They assert that Jesus must have thought that the people were ready to enthrone him, but he was sadly mistaken. Well, anyone who has carefully read the Gospels knows that this is wrong. Jesus entered into Jerusalem that day knowing full well what was coming. And we know this for several reasons. First, on more than one occasion, Jesus had announced to his disciples that he was going up to Jerusalem where he would be shamefully treated and put to death, but would be raised up on the third day. Also, during the course of that final week, Jesus looked out over the city and said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee." And he would go on during the course of that week to teach several parables, which confirmed that he knew his death was imminent. In fact, the Gospels assert that Jesus was in control throughout this entire ordeal. He knew exactly what would happen to him that week, and he went anyway. Second, Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day in humility. In fact, his humble actions were the antidote to the prideful actions that landed humanity in our sad state. St. Paul asserts as much in our epistle lesson for the day. In what was likely an early Christian hymn, he says that the Son of God made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is a remarkable passage. The apostle is telling us of this ultimate journey of humility, which brought the eternal Son of God from heaven to become a human being, and from there to subject himself to death, even the most shameful death imaginable in the first century, death on a cross. The fact that the Son of God would do all of this for us is breathtaking. The third truth associated with Jesus' journey into the holy city that day is closely bound up with the two prior truths. Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day to die. St. Paul writes in our epistle that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This truth is marvelously expressed in one of the Palm Sunday hymns that we sang today. Ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Bow your meek head to mortal pain, then take, O God, your power and reign. Jesus rode willingly and humbly into Jerusalem that day for the distinct purpose of laying down his life for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He is no failed revolutionary. He is the humble King who comes to save his people. He is the Lord who rides on a donkey into his royal city rather than a war horse. He is the Prince of Peace who accrues peace for his subjects by submitting to the only kind of death that could reconcile us to God. This is our King. Even though he knew what would happen in Jerusalem, he rode there anyway. He willingly went there for us. Furthermore, he rode into Jerusalem as the humble king to unravel the pride of